7:33 a.m. broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. In studio, the official guest host of the Tennessee Star Report and the lead political reporter for the Tennessee Star, Aaron Goldmanson. Aaron, you know, you broke a really big story last week that is reverberating around the state, and that is the fact that we're just a couple days away from losing about 10% of the Tennessee National Guard, those who refuse to take the COVID-19 vaccine. Mm-hmm. There will be a rally tomorrow, 11:30, at the Legislative Plaza,
yes,
to ask Governor Lee to stop those dismissals. So far, nothing from Governor Lee. I see no indication that Governor Lee is going to take any action. Do you see any indication he's going to take any action?
I have spoken with a few legislators who say, and this is completely in private, but the sense is that they don't expect him to do anything either. So,
but now, and let's look at this. And I think, in order to be fair to Governor Lee, now I think he should step in. I think he's got the authority to step in because the Tennessee National Guard is under his authority until they're deployed, right? But he's not doing it. But I will say this. In fairness to him, I don't think any other governor in the state has taken that stand, although others have pushed back against it in ways that he hasn't. Our own Neil W. McCabe, our national political editor, has this very interesting report on what other governors are doing.
The Star News Network has investigated how different states and National Guards have dealt with the COVID-19 mandate.
A spokesman for the National Guard Bureau in Washington told the Star News Network 86% of the Army National Guard is fully vaccinated and 88% partially vaccinated coming into the June 30th deadline. In raw numbers, this means roughly 5,000 Army National Guardsmen are poised to miss the Pentagon's deadline. The problem for the Biden administration is that while the Army Reserve is fully federal, the National Guard is a hybrid. No governor took a stronger stand against forcing guardsmen to get the jab than Republican Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt in October.
This administration has no respect for individual freedoms. I can't believe we have a president who wants to force Americans to choose between a vaccine and their job.
In December, a federal judge denied Stitt's request for a preliminary injunction, and his lawsuit is still in the courts. In January, the governors of Texas and Alaska filed lawsuits asking the federal courts to exempt their guardsmen from the mandate. They were followed by the governors of Mississippi, Wyoming, Iowa, and Nebraska, who sent letters to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin requesting the same exemption. The Texas and Alaska lawsuits are still in the courts. Maybe the most dramatic step was taken by Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis announced June 15th he is reestablishing the Florida State Guard, where Florida Guardsmen could serve regardless of their vaccine status.
No, the Florida State Guard will be comprised of Floridians, and it will be designed to assist and help only Floridians. It will not be subject to be mobilized by the federal government, and the federal government cannot impose policies or penalties on the Florida State Guard.
In a statement to the Star News Network, the director of the National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen, said, "We're not giving up on anyone until the separation paperwork is signed and completed. There's still time." Reporting for the Star News Network, Neil W. McCabe, Washington.
What a great report by our national political editor, Neil W. McCabe. Now, there is an element of this, Aaron Goldmanson, that plays into the race in the 5th Congressional District in Tennessee for the GOP nomination. Now, the person who I think is most readily identified as a member of the Tennessee National Guard is retired Brigadier General Kurt Winstead. You wrote a story. You talked to almost all of the candidates about this. His response was, I think, one of the most muted responses. He stated opposition to the dismissal of the Guard members, but he neglected to call for any action in support of the Guard's members' jobs. Here's what that statement from his campaign said. General Winstead retired in February 2021, prior to the vaccines being mandatory for military members. He opposes the dismissal of military members due to COVID-19 vaccine refusal. The COVID-19 vaccine for military members was a federal decision by the Biden administration, and as a member of Congress, Winstead will fight Biden on any burdensome, unnecessary COVID-19 restrictions. He was a brigadier general. He's got Governor Bill Lee's phone number. Why is he not calling Governor Lee and saying, stop these dismissals?
That's a really good question. It's been speculated by a lot of sources involved in this story that he is just too close to the adjutant general, General Holmes. You know, also, I just want to make clear, you know, a lot of these candidates, they answered the question at a forum, how they felt about the firings. They proactively sent, in the case of Beth Harwell and Andy Ogles, they sent proactively sent a press release, you know, addressing the issue. It's worth pointing out that the direct question was asked of Winstead if he would call on Governor Lee to do that, given his status, and because we wanted to pay special attention, you know, former Brigadier General in the Tennessee National Guard, and they refused to answer that particular question.
To answer.
Didn't at all.
This is a problem with Winstead's campaign. He's generic, you know, America first. But he has no specifics. And in this particular instance, and we're trying to get him in here to talk about the details of this, because not in just this instance, but Crom Carmichael, our original All-Star panelist, has been highly critical of his background of, you know, donating to Democratic candidates, you know, maybe 10 years ago. And then his wife's being, you know, one of the lead Democratic lobbyists in the state. This is a big issue, and I think what he's doing, and, you know, we're friendly with his campaign management team. They did a good job. Chris Devaney, a very strong professional, did a very good job, you know, basically gave us Governor Bill Lee when Diane Black and Randy Boyd were spending $20 million attacking each other. I think they're trying to do the same thing with General Winstead. Make America first. I'm not going to give you any specifics. And in the one area where he should have a comparative advantage, because he is a retired brigadier general in the Tennessee National Guard, where he could do something positive for those 10% of the Tennessee National Guard members who are about to lose their jobs on Thursday, he is doing and saying nothing.
Right, exactly. And it is interesting to bring up the Democrat donations, because in this day, and I think it underscores, you look at the Harold Ford donation and several of the others.
So Winstead made a donation to
Harold Ford
back in what, 2006?
2006.
Democrat nominee for U.S. Senate.
Yep. A couple other congressional races in 2010, and I want to say 2012, but I know there was at least one in 2010. And he also donated directly to the Democrat Party. We did a story on this. And, you know, I think in light of especially the overturning of Roe v. Wade, it's interesting to he needs to answer the question. What was he thinking at the time? I mean, he's given some generic answers on it.
Make America great.
You know,
I was born on a farm.
Right.
I married my wife, who's a twin.
But and it doesn't jive with his concept that he was a conservative at conception. I'm not sure that any of us actually have political beliefs when we were conceived. But
well, let's talk about there. I think for retired Brigadier General Kurt Winstead, very, very nice, affable fellow.
Yeah.
Very nice. But I have noticed, and we've attempted at several instances to get very specific responses from him.
Yes.
We have not succeeded.
No.
In fact, to be honest, and, you know, Chris Devaney is a good friend of ours and managing his campaign, and we like General Winstead. But to be honest, he has avoided interacting with us at certain instances when he knows we're going to ask these questions. We need to get him in here and just, you know, give him a fair opportunity to respond to these questions.
Thus far, he has acted as a typical backslapping politician, offering no specifics. And as my friends in the military say, you don't get to go as far as he did without being
politically savvy.
Yeah. So.
Now, let's talk about the state of the race here.
Yeah.
So, this is my perception right now on it. So the money, you know, the people with money are Winstead, Harwell, and Ogles, right?
Right.
There are nine qualified candidates. Beierlein has some money and has been spending some, and has, I think, good messaging, Jeff Beierlein.
Yeah. 1 minute.
The former West Point grad, Black Hawk pilot, healthcare executive. But to me, right now, this looks like a race between Beth Harwell and Andy Ogles. Your thoughts?
I think that's exactly right. And just to add a little new thing to the predicted markets is where they people will actually take essentially bets on this for academic purposes. But they have Beth Harwell at a 48% chance of winning, Andy Ogles at a 40% chance of winning, and Kurt Winstead at a 20% chance of winning. And nobody else is even registering on those markets.
Yeah, I think that's about the right for the state of the... Now, it's 5 weeks and 2 days until the election date, and it's actually 2.5 weeks until early voting begins. Anything can happen, but right now, that's the state of the campaign. So we'll have more when we come back. It'll be time for News Potpourri. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Aaron Goldmanson. I'm Michael Patrick Layton.